The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio, with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. This program sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. Well, today, as we weather this COVID-19 pandemic, we are more than ever keenly aware of our parishes and Catholic institutions and their importance in how we worship and develop our relationship with the Lord. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they're where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are these essential to our relationship with God? Well, one only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. And we should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at the history, the current ministries, and the people of Saints Robert and William Parish in the east side Cleveland suburb of Euclid. And historically, Saints Robert and William is the result of a merger of two parishes during the diocesan reconfiguration, two parishes which were originally established post-World War II to handle the booming post-war population in Euclid. St. William in 1946, St. Robert in 1950. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship is the first pastor of Saints Robert and William, Father John Betters, who's joined by Molly Lorick, his director of early learning and the Early Learning Center, and Angela Casey, director of enrollment and development. And first, Father John, following the merger of the two parishes, when officially was Saints Robert and William established, and you were named the first pastor, correct?
Correct. So Saints Robert and William was established on January 3rd, 2010. It was actually the Feast of the Epiphany, and I became pastor on that day. Literally on that day was my first day on the job. So it was a great celebration, a great day. I was very excited.
What I've learned about both parish histories, like so many, they were established as the suburb of Euclid exploded post-World War II with new housing, new families. That was the case, was it not?
Yes. In fact, St. Robert's was built on Lakeshore Boulevard. It's a daughter parish, if you will, of St. William's, because St. William's was getting so big. The front door for St. Robert was actually facing the back because there was a huge housing project that went in. And that's actually the people that it was supposed to minister to. And in the 60s, that housing project closed and was torn down to build a golf course. So they literally lost half their parish. But it was always funny to go down Lakeshore Boulevard and not see the front door of the church, you know, on the main road.
Oh, no, that is interesting. I always like to mention this. I think as I was looking at history, the first masses, as these parishes were established, they found different locations, if you will, before a church building could be constructed, did they not?
Yes. The first masses were in the movie theater, which actually is still open today on Lakeshore Boulevard in downtown. And then they also used the local junior high school, which is no longer around. It's been since replaced, but yeah, they did not. They both used movie theaters and high schools.
I know that Catholic education is one of the real focuses of your parish now. And I'm looking back historically. It appears to me that Catholic education was a priority back in the establishment day of both of these parishes, a real priority for the people. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So St. William's and St. Robert's, the school was very important. Actually, in Euclid, at one time, we had six parishes and six schools, and it really wasn't until the 2000s that we saw the end of that, you know, as the population and the demographics were shifting here in Euclid. So schools were very, very important to Euclid and still are. They're still very much a part of us. Again, an interesting thing about St. Robert is, like a lot of churches, you built your school first before you built your church. So the building of St. Robert was actually on the first floor, there was the hall, the second floor was the church, and on the third floor was the school. And I actually have the blueprints that they were going to build a church. But as I mentioned, you know, when that housing project was turned into a golf course, they lost so much they never actually built their permanent church. So the entire history of St. Robert was in a temporary church because the school is so important.
We always do like to mention as well, Father, as you just explained, with education being such a priority, was it women religious who had stepped in to have those schools really operational and been brought up to the immediate needs of the community?
Yes, both parishes were founded. Their schools were run by the Ursuline Sisters. And actually, here's a little fact that I just thought of, is Sister Dorothy Kazel, the beloved martyr from El Salvador, actually was raised in St. Robert's and taught at St. Robert's. And that's an important part of the history that we continue today at St. Robert and William, is we have a beautiful plaque to her in our church. And every year we give a high school student an award called the Sister Dorothy Kazel Award, and we give them $500 towards his Catholic high school tuition in her honor. And the other interesting thing is when we opened the Guardian Angels Early Learning Center, we're actually using the former Ursuline Convent, and so it's kind of neat. We had to tear down all the little nun cells. I think there were 14 nun cells upstairs that we tore down to make into the big classrooms. But I've actually had some of the Ursuline sisters over to see the Early Learning Center, and they have loved to see that their beautiful convent is now the home of over 80 children, infants through five.
You know, that led to my final question for this segment, which was, you have a merger, establishment of a new parish that you had to take on. Have you had to make many physical adjustments to buildings or the church or the school during that difficult process?
Well, you know, the reality is over the last 12 years, we've done about $3 million worth of improvements. You know, one of the things that led to the reconfiguration, I think, was we have a lot of aging buildings, and it gets very expensive to maintain these buildings. And St. Robert, or St. William Church, has a very unique shaped roof. It's actually in the shape of praying hands. And one of the first things we had to do was replace that roof. And it was quite the project because of its awkward shape, the labor, you know, to get it done. We've also recently, right before COVID, renovated our gym and created a pretty awesome looking gym. And the gym was actually the first church. So we were able to capture some of that history as well. With our school having so many children, we needed a great athletic space. And then the convent was pretty huge. The other thing we're kind of working on right now is I was named pastor in 2018 of St. John of the Cross, which is right up the, literally right up the hill, 2.3 miles on the same road. And so the priests now live there. And so we are not using the rectory here. We're using it more for offices than for living.
Very good. Good to know. Well, when we return, Saints Robert and William Parish, serving as a community in transition on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, with special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message for our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? All right, before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Mlesik's gospel reflection for that Sunday. So be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops onto your screen. And now, as our interview continues, my guests are the pastor of Saints Robert and William Parish, Father John Betters, along with Molly Lorick, the director of the Early Learning Center, and Angela Casey, director of Enrollment and Development. And Father John, it's been the case that the city of Euclid is in a city of transition, if you will, with a large African-American population moving in. Many traditionally not Catholic. What has been the role of Saints Robert and William during these transitory times in Euclid?
Well, to be honest with you, I think it's kind of leveled off. I think there's a pretty stable population right now. I mean, again, partly because of COVID, you know, kind of changed that. But I think the city's done a good job of kind of stabilizing. You know, to be honest with you, in 2010 when I came, A lot of people were continuing to move into Lake County and build homes. But I think, you know, after the housing crisis of, 2008, and we've seen some stability. But St. Robert Millennium has always tried to be a leader in the community by trying to bring help people realize that every single person was created in the likeness and image of God. One of the greatest ways we see this is every year, and actually Angela, who is with us, is the head of it, is our festival. St. Robert always had a big festival, so we brought that back. And it's just awesome in the neighborhood. We actually do it on our front yard, right on 260th and Forest View, and people from all over the neighborhood look forward to it every year. I was actually at a restaurant the other day, and she goes, "Aren't you a priest?" And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Oh, yeah, I come to your festival every year. I love it. I love it." So it's been great. You know, it's just a great family festival that we really kind of focus in on. But more importantly, I'm very proud of the outreach we've done. I think that my experience in Euclid, you know, I don't have the facts to back this up or statistics, is that we have a lot of working poor in Euclid, a lot of people who are struggling from paycheck to paycheck. We've been able to do some phenomenal work. I talk about that it's like the widow's jar that never emptied of flour. We have this outreach account that just never seems to ever dry up. It's always being provided for, and we've done some amazing things, help people with rent and utilities and car payments and medical payments. We have an awesome community meal twice a month that we are serving about 150 people. During COVID, we started community meals for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. We're going to continue those even past COVID. We give away about 300 meals. We partnered with the Cleveland Food Bank. We've worked with the other churches in Euclid just to come together to pray. For example, when the George Floyd thing happened, we united with them in Euclid and just had a peaceful prayer service to pray for peace, especially among the different races and racial groups. And I think the best place I love to see it is in our school. You know, our school is very, very diverse. It's probably about 50% African American, about 50% Caucasian, with a mix of a few others in there. But it's pretty cool. Angela could talk a lot about it, but we're a no place for hate school with the American Anti-Defamation League, and it's really cool to see that as well. The kids really get along for the most part. We have normal kid problems. I'm not going to deny that, you know, kids being kids, but I'm proud of our kids and how they've embraced.
In fact, Father, yeah, I wanted to talk about education. It seems to be a real priority for you. And obviously, as you just mentioned, maybe I would ask Angela about that as far as, you know, you're talking as Director of Enrollment and Development. Not an easy task on the development side to keep a school operating well, but also, you know, involving the enrollment and the diversity and so forth. What are your responsibilities there, Angela, as far as that is all concerned?
My primary responsibility is to meet with prospective parents and students and just introduce them to our school, what makes our school so unique and, in our opinion, so wonderful. We do tours of the schools. I talk about our core philosophy, our parents' partners' philosophy. That's the primary goal, is just to bring people into our school and to grow our enrollment. Right now we're sitting at just over 400 K-8 students. So I think St. Robert and Williams School is very well respected in the community, and I just try to keep that momentum going.
What do you offer in the school, do you think, that's a real advantage for students? Are any special programs or aspects of technology or any of that that comes forward?
Our favorite, kids and parents alike, is our STREAM Lab. We call it our CSI Lab, our Center for Student Innovation, but it's our STREAM Lab. So it's a problem-based, hands-on, special class that all of our children, K through 8, take part in. And our teacher, Mrs. Novak, presents problems to the kids that they try to solve, real-world problems. For example, she, right before Lent started, she did a whole Mardi Gras theme and talked about all of the garbage that's left behind on the streets of New Orleans, you know, after Mardi Gras, beads and stuffed animals and what have you, and what, in our students' opinion, would be a good way to solve that problem. How can we, you know, if we were there, what would we do to combat all of the mess and all of the garbage and keep the streets clean? So that is that's one of the favorite subjects, and I think that's one of our shining courses. And then Father John mentioned also our No Place for Hate group, It's a student-led group, grades 6, 7, and 8, with teacher moderators. Those children promote diversity and anti-bullying, and they implement projects that take part throughout the whole school. So it's something that the older kids implement, but that the entire school takes part of. And it's been wonderful. Last school year, we did a project where each teacher got a post-it note, set of post-it notes, and a student was allowed to put a note on, say, artwork hanging on the wall. You did a great job. I love the colors you used. This is a beautiful picture. Just to promote positive feelings and encouragement. And it's just been a wonderful aspect of our school since 2016. That was the first year we were named a No Place for Hate school, and we've continued every year since.
What a positive and great idea that is. Well, coming up, Saints Robert and William in Euclid, its current ministries, activities, and liturgies, and also we'll want to talk about Early Learning Center and what that's all about on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, Cleveland Catholic Radio. And our focus for this broadcast is Saints Robert and William Parish in the Eastside Cleveland suburb of Euclid. And I'm your host, Bob Tayak. My guests are the pastor, Father John Betters, along with the director of Early Learning Center, Molly Lorick, and Angela Casey, the director of Enrollment and Development. And let's talk a little bit, as we were on the theme of education, with the wonderful school and all those aspects transpiring. I know another addition is Father explained a little bit is the use of the former convent now as an early learning center. And Molly, please tell us about that and what's the dynamic involved in bringing this into operation at the parish.
Our early learning center is called the Guardian Angels Early Learning Center. We were established in 2019. The leadership team at Saints Robert and William at the time recognized that there was really a need for faith-based childcare in the Euclid area. We had an established preschool program that started in 2004 for 4- and 5-year-old students. So in 2019, we added on infant and toddler child care to that preschool. So we are now operating a year-round center for children 6 weeks through 5 years old.
Tell us a little bit about when you say it's faith-based, what's introduced there that you might not find in, I guess I'll call it, a secular early childhood center?
Definitely. It's hard to believe, but even at 6 weeks old, we do introduce faith into the classroom. We pray with the babies before they have their bottles. Our preschool students attend Mass once a month with the elementary school students. We always focus on religious holidays through the year. We do service projects through Lent and through Advent. This past Advent, we did a coin collection to benefit Project Hope for the Homeless in Lake County. We raised over $400 to provide over a week of care, nights that homeless in Lake County could stay at Project Hope. So we just look for everyday, realistic ways to incorporate faith into their lives, so that they have a really strong basis when they leave our center and move on to elementary school.
I would add that the other thing is Father Tom, who is our associate here, our parochial vicar, and I try to get in there a lot to read stories to the kids, just so you know they have exposure to the priest. So we read, I think, 2 years old and up is what I read to. And, you know, again, usually it's a religious story, but it's not always, but it's just exposure, an opportunity to interact with priests.
And I think, Molly, we know both historically and the evidence is there that, in a sense, you can't start them too young, that they really do begin to digest this material, don't they, even as early as 2 years old?
We do. We actually, there was a cute video a few years ago, one of the babies, she was just a little over a year old, and she was sitting at the table eating her lunch, and she just kept saying, amen, amen, amen. And she really only had 2 or 3 words at that point, but one of them was amen, which was really awesome. It just goes to show that our staff does a great job of incorporating the faith into their lives throughout the day.
Well, that's very, very good. Father, I have to ask you, since this is airing on Easter Sunday, how about, in general, any Easter-related, Easter season traditions or anything that have been incorporated from St. Robert or St. William into the parish now as far as you observe the Easter season?
Nothing in particular that isn't probably present in a lot of parishes, but I'll share with you, we have a lot of Eastern Europeans in our parish, and I did not realize, because I grew up on the West Side, and we didn't do this on the West Side, but the Easter basket and food blessing is
sure.
very important here. I actually think it might be one of our most crowded events of the entire year. I see people come from all over to have their Easter food and baskets blessed. It's pretty awesome. The church smells incredible. I love that event. So that's very important to us. So a couple things that we've established at Saints Robert and William in the last 12 years is we have a Life Teen Youth Ministry program for our youth, and they put on a Easter egg hunt and Easter bunny opportunity for the young families to come, both who are parishioners or in our school, but also neighborhood children come as well. So that's always very well attended, and we're actually looking forward to having it again this year. We haven't had it for a couple years because of COVID. Something I think is kind of unique, I actually haven't heard any of my brother priests do this, is everyone who's homebound or in an institution, you know, like a nursing home or a independent living or assisted living, gets an Easter flower and a card that I have signed, Father Tom has signed, and Renee Barber, our pastoral associate, signed. And we have a ton of volunteers who take them, and they look forward every year. They do this for Christmas and Easter, visiting the homebound and the people in those institutions. They feel connected to the parish, and so they look like that. So those are kind of the two big unique things. The other thing that actually has kind of to do with the school is every year we usually have someone from the school, sometimes it's children, sometimes it's their parents, becoming Catholic. Our school has actually done some great evangelization work. Usually it's the kids who ask to get baptized, and they've sometimes brought their parents, which has been pretty awesome. This year we have a mother of some school children becoming Catholic. We've baptized so far three of our students, and we have two more on deck. It's great.
Wow, what a wonderful evangelization tool that is. Father, my last question was going to be, and I asked this in each of my interviews, and you somewhat answered it already, but like so many parishes today, has it been a struggle reaching younger people, and I'm talking from the preteens up, you know, in this culture, which tends to dismiss organized religion? Has that been a focus?
It has. From the beginning when I opened, one of the priorities the parish council and I, and actually the finance council set, was having a full-time youth minister. I can't say enough how important I think that is. You don't always see the results because it's not like, you know, in the school I can count how many children do we have in every classroom, you know, how many are returning. You don't always see that in youth ministry, but whether it be Life Teen or any other kind of youth ministry, I think it's so important. And I think it's mostly what I call relational ministry. We've had a couple youth ministers over the years, and you know, I really encourage them to get to know the kids, go to their sporting events, go to their schools. They've always been able to, we have great relationships with Lake Catholic and Villa Angela, St. Joseph, so he's present in both of those schools. You know, having lunch with the kids, praying with the kids, anything he can do to get involved in the neighborhood. Recently, the diocese has started this young adult, they're calling them pods, I guess, so we're hooked up with a couple other parishes and doing some young adult ministry. We did a retreat in Advent at each of the four parishes that are involved here, and it was pretty well received.
Wow.
And through our school, we've had some great opportunities of bringing people, some families, just to do fun things.
Father, how can someone learn more about Saints Robert and William Parish?
Go to our website, srweuclid.cc.
All right.
srweuclid.cc.
Sounds excellent. Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship. This is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring Saints Robert and William Parish in Euclid, Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life. As written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and clicking the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.